Hello.
Hi, David.
Yeah, Gio.
So I wanted to talk to you and record your last thing you were saying, which was about knowledge.
Okay.
Because I think that the framework of our conversations and maybe is the preface.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, so you might have to talk louder.
Okay.
Okay, so tell me again what you were saying about knowledge and faith.
Well, knowledge is there, and it's only useful when faith lacks, the faith in God lacks. But if you have the faith, the knowledge can actually be an impediment because you can puff yourself up on knowledge and pride, but faith is always humbling. And that's really the only point I was going to make about this.
Do you feel that you can have faith and knowledge in the same...
I think you can have... I think, like I say, one only leads to the other. One only helps when the other is lacking. But once you have the faith, like I say, knowledge can actually be an impediment because you can puff yourself up on the knowledge, but faith is always humbling. And you can really consider God and believe in God, how tremendous He is. You know, whereas knowledge, you can puff yourself up on your own knowledge and your own wisdom, and that's very, very easily leads to pride.
Have you experienced that in yourself?
Sure. And faith is always humbling. You know, and once you have the faith, but like I say, you'll always need knowledge because faith is, it's not always there. It's not always available to you. Sometimes, reading the scriptures can give you the knowledge that can help your faith. Like I say, if you just base yourself, if your whole life on just knowledge and wisdom, you'll just lead to pride in yourself, not faith in yourself rather than faith in God.
What about the concept of before knowledge? What was...
I don't know about that. Maybe I don't... To me, that's a knowledge. That's just another knowledge. To me, that's just another way of trying to have knowledge without... Because before knowledge, you would still know that space. So there is, where you know, there is knowledge. So I think that's just a tricky word. Tricky way of tricking yourself into thinking, what was I before knowledge? I mean, like I say, the knowledge has to be there. You can't do away with knowledge because faith is always going to be lacking at some point. During a certain situation, it could be troubling. You could fear your loss of faith in God. So you need that knowledge. You can't do away with that knowledge. But once you have the faith, you no longer need it at that point. But you can't just destroy it for everybody else, because let's say somebody else's faith lacks. And no faith lasts, at least on this earth, and it doesn't last forever. I mean, I don't want to get, I would never try to get into what's before knowledge. I mean, that's silly. That's just another way of knowing. And you would have to know that state before knowledge, and where there is knowing, there's knowledge.
Two questions that come to mind. One is a child, a newborn baby, who has, what do we know that they have? And that's what I was thinking about. Maybe our whole state of experiences leads us back to being in the present as and childlike.
Well, I would agree with that too, but still, that's kind of like doing away with the whole process of life. There has to be It has to be the child. It has to be the young man. I mean, why not just end right there? When I just say I'm a baby, I'm perfect, and that's it. You know, the rest can be thrown away. It's just not meant to be. It is true that when we get older, we get feeble and we get dependent on others more so than when we're in the middle of our lives. We become more like a baby as we get older. We become more infantile, and I don't know if that's necessarily the greatest step. You know, I mean, it's necessary to life. I mean, because indeed the experience is humbling. But a child is completely happy because he has everything supplied for him. He doesn't have to learn how to do anything for himself. I think that's. Of course, God loves babies, but he wants them to grow up. I mean, a baby, in fact, that seems to be. A lot of problems with a lot of people. They become like little babies. They want everything handed to them. They want everything. And they're used to that. If they don't get their way, they cry and bawl like a baby. There's nothing more annoying than the sound of a baby crying. You know, so I don't know if being a baby is the perfect state. I find trouble with that.
I just was thinking about before knowledge and even before faith.
Well, I don't think anything is before faith. I mean, if you don't have faith, I mean, who are you? I mean, there's a saying in Scripture, no God, no people. You know, to think I am as if nothing. I think you're somehow searching for nothingness, Gio. You just want to not be. And that's what the Buddha search after. But somehow I have to wonder sometimes. Buddha got, you know, he's always talking about this void and this nothingness and everything. It's amazing what he did. He got nations to work for absolutely nothing. It's amazing. I mean, what a tricky little guy. I mean, he got people spending their whole lives searching for nothing.
Come on,
give me a break. You know, I mean, that's an amazing thing. I mean, you have to admire that. I mean, in a sense, you got people that work for nothing, no money, nothing. You get a void in the end.
You get stamped void.
Yeah, null and void.
Null and void.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, David, over the course of our years of conversations. At this point in your life, what is faith?
Faith is the absolute certainty that there is a great, tremendous God beyond you. Faith is not a questioning thing, because knowledge is questioning. But faith is not a questioning thing. It's a certainty. It's not an arrogant certainty, but it's a certainty nonetheless. And it's faith is knowing that it's God that asks the questions, not man. God asks the questions of man, and man shouldn't be questioning God so much. I mean, I've done it my whole life. I've had to question everything, and I just wasn't given a natural or a supernaturally born faith. I've just had to question them. Not that I disbelieved in God. I always wanted to believe in God. There's a tremendous prayer by Pope Paul VI where he said, Lord, I wish... I won't go into the whole prayer, but the beginning of the prayer is, Lord, I believe, I wish to believe. And that's the beginning of the prayer. It's a tremendous prayer. I say it many times. The whole prayer, but I'm not going to get into it. But
do you know?
I know the whole prayer. Yeah, I know the whole prayer, but I know it by heart. I've been saying it really since the '80s when I first heard it.
Is it a long prayer?
It's kind of long, so I don't want to get into. I don't necessarily want to.
And why do you?
Because I just thought, you know, it's not as, you know, it's like, Lord, I wish to believe, and like. I said, no, the saying of another Paul, Paul the Apostle, who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Like, where I still don't believe, help it.
Do you have those?
Oh, everybody has a dark night of the soul. Everybody has a dark night of the soul. And it's necessary. It's necessary because it's a strange thing. You can love somebody more in absence than you do in being with them, because you seem to yearn more for them when they're absent. And it's the same with God. When the faith is absent, you have to really search and really try to find ways to have faith. I mean, so you're kind of like searching even more when the faith is absent, and that's where knowledge can be very helpful. You know, sometimes all it takes is just a brief line of scripture to get your faith moving again. But like I say, if you just puff yourself up completely on the scriptures, you're just being arrogant. You're getting, you know. I don't really think necessarily. You know, you got to realize Jesus didn't come to wise men. He didn't come to scholars. He came to poor, humble fishermen. And God didn't come to the great, mighty Egyptians, but only in a way to humble them, because he came to the slaves, the poor slaves who were working night and day for the Egyptians. You know, and that's where he really began his great revelation. I mean, I think he's been apparent to many nations and many cultures, but I think the God of Israel and the God of Judah, the God of the Hebrews, is somehow I've never read anything like from anywhere else but like that God.
What do you mean?
It's just too tremendous. His, he's just a tremendous, tremendous God, and that's really who I pray to. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus as the Messiah, but I really believe in the God of Israel, the God of Judah.
But you also read all of these other.
I have read all of them, and in a way, I had to show my respect to them because I've had a hard time with religion. Like I say, I was told at a young age by a Roman Catholic. I won't mention that it was, you know, who it was, but who told me that all Protestants go to hell, all Jews go to hell, all Hindus go to hell, all Buddhists go to hell, all Muslims go to hell. Only Roman Catholics get to heaven, and somehow that just kind of exhausted my faith, and I wanted to believe because I was, you know, I was in a Roman Catholic house, and I was going to a Roman Catholic school and went to church. I wanted to believe. I thought, you know, and I said, could God really do something like that? And so I've been searching my whole life through all the avenues of religion. But when all is said and done, the God of Israel, God of Judah, points to all of them, because his house is a house of all peoples. And one of the prophets said he will be conformable to all tastes. And I think he is part of those other religions. He's part of those other houses. But
well, I just wonder about the dynamics that goes on between religions. Why don't they get along?
Well, maybe they're not meant to. Maybe they're meant to in the next life. You know, this is not meant to be. There is peace promised. There is peace promised, but I don't think it's now yet. I think they're meant to be different. They're not meant to be just one religion. We're not meant to just have one world religion. We're meant to be different, as the races are different. We're not meant to be one world race. I think think we'd lose our characteristics. Each race, each religion has its own characteristic. But
what would, on a sidebar of this, what is it that you would like for people to think about?
I would like them to think about, if they don't have faith, why don't they have it? And stop looking for it. I mean, I would like people to stop putting God on the back burner and put him on the front burner again. I mean, because there's nobody greater than God, and nobody can help you like God. And life is just a knowledge. It's really just a knowledge. It has various knowledges and various needs and everything, but we seem to have forgotten God, the one who created it in the first place, or at least take the time to thank him. I mean, you know, that's what I would tell people. At least just thank God. And if you find it hard to thank God for anything, try to find out why God is dealing with you in such a way that you don't have anything to thank him for. Maybe there's something you could do to kind of gain his friendship again.
When you think of God, I know your reference points to images and idols. What is it that you... What?
No, my reference point is not images and idols. My reference point would be to get beyond them. That I think we've made images. And the answer to that question you asked earlier, why can't we all get along? It's because we've made idols of our own religions. We've constructed things within our own mind concerning them, and maybe that's meant to be. Just as a baby has a little teddy bear when he's young. I mean, maybe we need these idols to hold on to eventually a grown man with a teddy bear looks pretty silly. You know, so we have to kind of give those things up. We have to really search for God. And a lot of people have made an idol of life, the mundane life. The mundane is all that exists. Go from point A to point B and just forget about it all, because man has done so many things in the name of religion that he thinks God did them, and not realizing that man only does them because he's making idols. And it's not God. God didn't make the idols. Man made the idols. And we blame God for all these terrible things. It's not God that's doing them. It's man that's doing them.
So how do you reconcile God as... when you talk of God, what is it?
It's not an it for one thing, because an it is a created thing. God is really the only one that's before knowledge. God is the only one who's before all characteristics. He gave us these characteristics to hold on to. Man has been forever making his own images, but God gave us an image. In other words, when he appeared to Moses on the mount, he told Moses he is appearing in a similitude. So he gave us an image. He gave Moses an image to look upon and still live. And he even told Moses, I'm too terrible to see. So, and I think out of that image we were meant to be made, but man preferred the image of the beast. Back in the story of the Garden of Eden, that was the most cunning of beasts, the serpent, who tempted. But in the case of the law later on, it was the beast of the golden calf. So man preferred that to God's image. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to undo when he said, who is without sin regarding these stones now? Because the sin of the golden calf is still upon them. Well, anyway, gee, I'm starting to get winded. I'm starting to get very tired, so I'm going to have to stop. So I Thank you for your time, but I'm getting winded. I got a really, it's a very humid day out, and it's starting to get to me.
Okay, David. So we shall continue our dance.
Okay, another tango at another time.
Right. And it's, as you know, I'm recording this.
I know you're recording. You know.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll be talking to you, Joe. And be well, okay?
Yeah. You too, David. And keep cool. And it's humid out there. What is this? It's August.
Yeah, it's a terrible humidity. Yeah, this is the dog days of August.
Yeah, it's what is it? August 6th?
This is August 7th.
August 7, 2011.
August 7, 2011. Okay, so take care, John. Be well.
Okay, take care, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye.